All right, you guys, hi. I'm here with Aaron and Tyler from Journey to the Truth podcast, even though it's kind of like a YouTube channel. Like,
It's both.
We have the audio podcast also on Apple Podcasts and all the audio platforms, but it's primarily a YouTube show, and then it gets uploaded on the audio everywhere.
That same thing happened to me. I started out as a podcast, and then I was like, oh, I guess I might as well just do video too, since I'm already the
right.
And that seems to be bigger than the podcast thing, so but I do the same thing, so that's cool. Well, anyway, welcome aboard. They talk about they talk about all kinds of crazy. It's a journey to the truth. They talk about all the like what's going on in this world. Like, they got a lot of secret space stuff. But where I really found y'all and like what made me go like ooh is the stuff you guys have interviewed about inner earth and like hollow earth stuff. So okay, I'm just going to set you up real quick for like how I got into that. And then let's roll with like what y'all's perspective is on it. Okay, so for me, I'm big into the megalith. So I'm like a megalith girl, right? And like I go to all these places and stuff. And anyway, when I was at Sacsayhuaman in Peru, I was looking around going like, whoever built this did not leave. And then I had connections. I had already seen UFOs like in my 20s and my early 20s and stuff. And I thought like, they don't go to Alpha Centauri and back every every day. Like, they have to be here now. They had to be. And then I started picking things up together, and just on my own, in my own inner head dialogue was going like, these people never left, they're still here, and that's who's like building some of this stuff, you know. That's how I sort of started piecing it together. And then I kept on hearing little tidbits and stuff online. And then now I'm in full blown, like I research it all the time and I eat up any legend or anything about breakaway civilizations, which I think sort of live in inner earth, which, yeah. So anyway, what do you guys think about all that?
I mean, yeah, whenever before my awakening, I heard about Admiral Byrd's diary, and I don't know what it was. This was years before my awakening, and I knew it was true. It just resonated. I'm like, there's something to this. And I saw how much ridicule it was getting, and I saw how it was like debunked and never proven and all that stuff. But then I read it, and I read it again, and I was like, this is so true. Then I eventually came across the book, The Smoky God, which kind of, you know, tells this, the inner earth story. And then any of that.
Corey Good started talking about.
Yeah. Then he talked about that. And I was always incredibly fascinating to me, and I always felt a connection, like a deep connection. And then obviously, as you go farther along into this, you start finding new people, different whistleblowers, Billy Woodard and a couple other just researchers, and then different books talking about it, to a point where you just can't ignore it. It makes a lot of sense that like there's a Gartha network that they say is over 100 cities, and you know, this underground tram system. Obviously there's like the human aspect, and there's like apparently the inner earth, and there's the hollow earth, and there's all these theories, right? And there's too much to ignore. And I don't know if you can add on, you know, what you discovered.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. And yeah, I discovered Admiral Byrd after my awakening, and Corey Good would talk about his experiences. That was the first like detailed descriptions of beings and civilizations that I had ever heard at that point about inner earth. But then I remember a lot would come through different like QHHT sessions of information about when Atlantis and Lemuria went down. A lot of those beings went into inner earth to survive the cataclysm, and then they've been there ever since. And that's, and like the city of Telos under Mount Shasta is supposedly one of those cities, which a guy named Lowell Johnson claims to have been taken to physically. And we just had him on the show not too long ago, and he talks about his whole experience. Many people claim to have gone there astrally and had experiences. Many people have claimed to have gone to other places in the inner earth astrally and had experiences. Yeah, there's too many whistleblowers. There's too much information that comes through about it. There's too many people that claim to have had experiences for there not to be anything there. So there's clearly, and it just makes sense, you know, like, especially if you believe that there are other beings or there's technology that is way beyond what we have on the surface level here, that can travel the stars. Well, what makes you think civilizations can't very easily go inside of a planet and build out there and live, you know, it just makes sense. Plus there's just tons of evidence that points to that. So, and it's like you were saying with the megaliths, there's so much there that there's clearly they were built by much more advanced civilizations in the past. There's no other explanation for it.
Well, except you can't say that right now because then they'll call you're a white supremacist racist if you say that it's advanced something.
Are you talking about?
Yeah, because that makes sense. You know, you right. say anything other than the mainstream narrative and you're just slandered with
whatever they can do to cancel culture.
Yeah, because they don't like what you say.
Well, that's
no other reason.
That's what's happening with that Graham Hancock.
Yeah, we were just talking about that
thing right now. And we're like wondering, you know, is this by design? Because what better way to get all eyes on this information is to say it's the most dangerous documentary on Netflix.
Right.
It's like a publicity stunt, but it gets all eyes. It gets people thinking and it plants seeds like, hey, there's, you know, history isn't what we thought, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely, there's definitely something to that angle as well. But, you know, I grew up in New Mexico and I went to school with the Isleta Pueblo and they didn't have a school at that time. So like my town was bordered their town. And so we went to school with all the kids there. And so they like on the once a week we would have like a story time with their elders where they would come in and give stories for like an hour, basically. One of the stories I would always ask about and I loved. There was two stories I really loved, but there was a lot of stories I loved of theirs, but their origin story was they crawled out of the earth, you know, and then they would talk about, they have a flood myth too. They had like this guy who went to the highest mountain and then water would go around their feet and stuff. But there is some, especially in the Navajo Nation, there's some area about like, you know, they were taken underneath the Grand Canyon, like, they were taken, followed the ant people. Although ant people sometimes I had a Lakota woman told me that doesn't mean like they were people that looked like ants. She just means that we call ants people too. Like we call buffalo people, like we call them people too. Like the other beings are people as well. So sometimes it can be misinterpreted. But I do think that there is a bunch of legends of them living for long durations underneath the ground. And in New Mexico, there's a bunch of other stuff that correlates with other stories of that too. So I've always kind of had that vernacular in the back of my head going into all this, kind of thinking, plus like, think about it. Like the earth is only like 25,000 miles is 25,000 miles, like, you know, diameter. And we've only dug like nothing in like 7-14 miles, like whatever, we've
not hardly anything. Yeah.
Hardly anything. Yeah. So we don't really know what we're on.
Well, and that's exactly right. And like, they don't actually have a good explanation for gravity and things like that. And we get completely different explanations of that from like whistleblowers and stuff. Explanations. I can't talk, but as far as like the Navajo and the ant people and stuff, that is interesting. You know, I've heard other people say, yeah, they don't like to be referred to as like ETs or aliens, but they're people just like us. Like they're just people.
Maybe
that's what she meant by that. But I do think there might be something, you call them ant people because maybe they resemble an intelligent ant. Also, we've heard that Clifford Mahudi talks about that. And you know, Chaco Canyon. I don't know if you've done any research on Chaco Canyon.
Oh, I've been there multiple times. I'm going back for a month. Yeah, I've had experiences in Chaco. Chaco's crazy.
Well, that whole place is, it's incredibly mysterious. You know, where it's like one of the major sites that they just can't explain what happened. Why? None of it makes sense. You know, they like, it's clear that the people weren't living there. But what was that for? Maybe it was, I don't know, some sort of spaceport.
Well, I mean, they say that they weren't living there, but at the same time, supposedly when the Smithsonian, we could talk about that. But whenever they excavated, there were baskets with turquoise jewelry and silver. And like they left with so something happened where the people there left and never came back, in the middle of the night kind of thing. You know, they didn't take any of their precious valuables with them. You would think even if you were under attack and you like like something was coming, you would be like, oh, I'm gonna grab the bag of precious jewelry real quick as I'm running out the door. I don't know. It's just really weird the way that it's like a thief in the night took them. And okay, it's if anybody hasn't been to Chaco Canyon, it's like the Great Pyramids of the United States of America. It is our most impressive. And when I'm there, every time I've gone there, there's just like German people and Japanese people. Like there's no other Americans. It's crazy how I have hardly met anybody else who's been there. But it's so impressive. Like you have to see it with your own eyes. It's insane. There's like, I don't know how many different Kiva buildings are unexcavated. I think there's like six that you can go into, but there's a lot of it that's unexcavated still. There's these huge highway systems that were buried. There's
miles, they were like
9 stories tall. We're talking about a place that was abandoned before the Spanish conquistadors ever landed. Right. You know, and it's complex architecture, in my opinion. And you're kind of going, wait, I thought you guys were saying that they're just hunter gatherers and teepee tents. Like this was not a hunter gatherer and teepee tent situation. This is a complex, it was so amazing. And there's hardly any skeletons found there. Like there was a couple, but that's it.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No. Also. Well, and I kind of take back like the mainstream narrative is that they don't think people were living there because it doesn't fit like what we would imagine like housing to look like. But I think, and another reason they don't think people could have lived there because they build these rooms with no windows. They're completely dark and there's no like soot or there's nothing in there that would lend evidence that there was a fire.
Unless they had more advanced technology that they didn't.
Right. Well,
like a lot of their kivas, like, you know, the underground like pits that they have that are closed in, they have huge like chimney pipe smoking. But I mean, they're like on the cliff behind Pueblo Bonito is all kinds of weird libation holes and stuff that looks like there was some sort of, I think there was some sort of like water catchment system going on. Plus there's a creek that's dried up that like runs right next to it. But there would have been, I think just in Pueblo Bonito alone, that's the biggest one that's excavated, is I think 10,000 people could have lived in it. There's that many. I think there's something like 9, it would have been as high as maybe 8 or 9 stories. You can't even go all the way down to the bottom of it. And a lot of the top's gone. It's just so, that's another one where you're walking around going like, what the hell was this?
Have you heard Chief Golden Light Eagle's story about Chaco Canyon and the giants? Apparently, I watched this, a short little video, but he tells a story. Him and some friends were there and they met somebody. Long story short, they witnessed these government officials come with helicopters and gigantic like coffins, boxes, basically. And they were hauling out these giant skeletons, boxing them up, and they were going to airlift them away. Well, when they went to airlift them away, this like dust devil came out of nowhere, this like windstorm tornado. And it completely just took these skeletons just up into the air and just like spread everything everywhere, and they lost the bodies. Apparently they never could find the bodies, according to what happened. So it was like they were like taking, I don't know if it was like the gods or whatever, but it's always a mystery, like there was a higher force at play there stopping the government from taking the sacred remains, you know.
That's interesting. I have not heard that story. I'm going to go look for that story because
I'll send you whenever we're done, remind me and I'll send you a little video.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's right up my alley. Yeah. There's also this I looked into for a while. There was these weak wing makers. I don't know. There was like some
late. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, what did you learn about them? Because I'm actually kind of been doing a little dig on them or
Well, I just know that like apparently like they uncovered like this vest, like a chamber near in the Chaco Canyon region. Like they were doing that, supposedly it's in the story goes that like in the 90s, a group of like 5 or 6 people were like, I think they may have been scientists. I'm not really sure what exactly they were. They were doing some off the trail hiking in the Chaco Canyon area, which is, by the way, huge, and there's nothing in their surrounding area around it. And they came across this like cavern with these some artifacts in it that looked kind of advanced. They didn't know what to do with them. And there was all these paintings, and they called them the wing maker paintings. And then the story goes, it gets kind of bogus, but like who knows if it's bogus or not. But the story goes that one of the guys ended up taking one of the artifacts, and it was able to read out a bunch of code and stuff like that, and that there's a certain amount of these that are planted on the earth, and then once they're found, like, it sets a chain reaction of something to come. It was supposedly these wing makers were here before any humans or anybody else was here, and they came and they left, and they left these little chambers or something. That's what I know about it. And you can go to the wing maker website. There's some books that was written about it, and there's some video and audio clips, but yep, kind of there's like a paywall and stuff. I'm not really sure. I haven't dug super, super deep into it because, you know, you got a limited time on the planet, but yeah, I find it fascinating.
Yeah. I started, you know, it came into my awareness recently. I mean, within the year. And then I felt like I wanted to do some more digging, and it's really interesting you brought it up, because I had this dream, this experience where I was like part of this, it was a government group, but they called themselves the Wingmakers, and it was, and we flew these like advanced, like dragonfly looking craft, like they depict on Dune, the movie Dune. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah. Anyway, it was just like almost like this recall type of dream. It was so wild, but it was so real. And I was like, I need to look into this. And I keep forgetting it pops into my head randomly. I'm like, I need to look into this. There's something to this for me to uncover. Today, I was going through my notes and I wrote down, I need to look up Wingmakers again. I came across my notes. I had no idea you were going to bring it up again. So it's like, it keeps showing up. I feel like there's more digging I need to do surrounding that. I know that's a side note, but it's just interesting to me.
Kind of reminds me of the Thunderbird legend too. You know, those and there's another book that I read, The Bird Tribe by something Carey.
Not sure, but I do know the bird, if you're familiar with the Cahokia Mounds, that's like 25 minutes from us, mm-hmm, in Southern Illinois. It's another ancient site.
Yeah. Like, have you guys been there?
Oh, a number of times. Yeah. Yeah. And they found a birdman skeleton. Well, it was a skeleton, but he was all the dressings of like a birdman, like his, I guess, a costume, or not costume, but something outfit he was wearing. And then they found a birdman tablet, which is a small little stone, but they call it the birdman tablet. And there's that whole Thunderbird, Quetzalcoatl, or however you say that, like, mm-hmm, you know, myth and legend there. They found the giant skeletons with the double rows of teeth there, all this stuff. And so there's that bird man, bird tribe energy there also.
The Cahokia thing. I'm really interested in going there. That the bird stuff is okay. So I like, one of my first like paranormal experiences was I was 10, and basically, long story short, my dad had been hunting and he came home, and in the middle of the night, like, my room was in the back, my room was basically like, there was a door that went out to the backyard. So there was a sliding glass door, and there was a basketball goal right out there. And there was a dead like elk that was skinned, and it like all of its blood was like on the ground, and there was a light on it. And it was just like a traumatic experience for a 10-year-old to see in the middle of the night. And I was like, oh my God. So like, I freaked out, and I went back. I couldn't get back into my siblings were all spending the night with somebody. It was like the weekend, and I was trying to get into my parents' room, and they weren't letting me in. I don't know why, but whatever. I basically had to self-soothe, and I went back into my room, and I was like, all right, I'm not looking. I knew logically like what was going on. I just didn't like it. And so I turned out the light, and there was this, I don't know, because it was very, very dark, but essentially what it was like this being that was like at least like our ceilings must have been 10 feet tall, and it had to bend down like that. So I don't know how tall it was, like 11 feet, 12 feet tall. And it was like cooing like a bird, like, and it had wings, and but it also had like big arms with kind of, I don't know how to explain it. I think it was like a lion with wings. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, it picked me up, and it like took me over into my bed, and it put me in there, and it was just telepathically talking to me like that it's okay. It would stay with me till morning. And I was just like, what are you? Anyway, it did. It stayed with me all night, and it comforted me. And then in the morning it was gone. And I told my mom was like, maybe it was an angel. And I was like, I don't think angels look like that, but I don't know what it was. But anyway, so that's something that's always made me really fascinated by the bird, anything related to like bird tribe or like bird stuff to me, because that was one of my very first paranormal experiences that I ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it could have just been like I had a, you know, I was like a kid who went through seeing like a traumatic, shocking thing. So I was like, oh, whatever, you know. But it was real to me at the time. So right. Whatever.
Don't discount it. Don't write it off.
Hey, I don't discount it, but other people will discount it.
Right.
Yeah. You're always going to get that.
Yeah, I know.
Some people.
So that's why I have to preface it and be like, it's, hey, you know, it's okay. It just is what it is. You don't have to believe it. That's just my personal, like, what thing. So what got y'all into, okay, when you say awakening, what do you guys mean by that when you say that?
I mean, just, understanding that your whole life's been a lie. awakening to the reality, like everything you thought you knew was
basically
wrong,
everything we're taught is a lie or is a partial truth at the best. And there's just so much more to reality and existence than we're taught. And that there's life all over the universe, not just this planet. There's life here from other places that's been here for a long time. Our history that we're taught is wrong. It goes back way farther. There's way more to it. Where we come from, what we're taught is wrong, you know, just almost everything. And then way awakening to our true nature as well. Like just the fact that like you are a soul, you're not your body. You've lived many other lives. This is just one, you've had incarnations on other planets, most likely, like as other beings. Just awakening to me encapsulates all that. Like you said, it's just just waking up, and starts with thinking for yourself. That's always got to be the start, because until you can do that, you're always going to be trapped in whatever you're taught, when whatever religion, whatever you're taught in school, whatever you're friends and family believe, that's what you're going to believe, because you're just kind of trapped in the egoic belief systems. And then you start becoming a sovereign, stepping into your sovereignty, which means thinking for yourself and acting on your own volition and what you truly believe. But to believe something, you have to have gone on that journey yourself. If you're just handed things and then you believe it, well, you're just programmed. That's not true beliefs. That's indoctrination and programming, which is what most people on the planet are still under. But more and more people are waking up and finding truth for themselves, and it's amazing to watch. But yeah, that's what awakening
means to me. And also awakening to the fact that there is an agenda, and
yes,
and that's the huge thing, is understanding that everything is literally, it's all programmed. We're all being programmed and mind controlled, and they have a specific agenda, an anti-life agenda, you could say a satanic agenda. And I think it's important to, like, obviously at first you think like, oh, you know, they can't be lying about everything. And then you get further down the road, you're like, oh wait, they're lying about everything. Like almost everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything, know. It feels like.
I mean, obviously, you know, there's some minor exceptions, but, and then you have to get to a place where you realize, like, you have to be aware.
It's over the shape of the planet.
Right. Well, you can.
Well, at least, because that's the big flat earther argument, is like, they're lying about everything, so the earth must be flat. Like, no, that's, you know.
You know, like the flat earth thing is like, and like people make fun of them till the cows come home and everything. But, and I went down that rabbit hole, like where I like watched a bunch
I did years ago.
Documentaries. Yeah, me too. Like back when, I don't know, 2016 or something. But I have to say, it really opened, like the flat earth thing. I actually do think that the earth is round. Okay. So don't crucify me.
Yeah.
But I do think the part that is really, really, and even if it isn't, I'm not that bothered by it. Okay. So, but anyway, NASA is the only narrative that controls. This is digital art. I always tell people this. I'm like, this is long exposure, composite photography, digital art. Like the story of space is largely fed to us as well, you know, and by one agency. And that was very I think I was kind of exposed to that a little bit through the flat earth research, where I was kind of going, oh, right. You know what? They do actually basically have their hand in every agency that has anything to tell you about, you know, whatever.
Right. And that is true. And that is very true, that NASA most of what comes out of NASA is fake or manipulated, and they're lying to us about so much. But that doesn't automatically mean the Earth is flat. And this is the thing people need to, like, a lot of people want to make everything black and white, whereas, like, or it's like, okay, you have to believe the Earth is flat because NASA lies about everything and we're lied to. And it's like, well, you gotta, you know, if they'll lie to you about the things that, and they won't lie to you about things, whatever serves their agenda. But I think the flat Earth thing, I think they pushed it as a psyop because it, for multiple reasons, because that actually serves their agenda way better than the opposite of that. You know, yes, that is one thing the flat earthers get right, is that NASA is putting out a lot of fake stuff. They're lying to us about almost everything they put out.
Well, even like space station footage, you can like debunk, or like, yeah, the space mouse. Like, there's things like, okay, the moon, they're clearly not showing us like footage from space.
The moon landing, yeah, they did film. Yeah, they showed us the fake footage they filmed in the studio, but they also, I think they also did go there. They just didn't show us the real footage. They showed us the fake.
I'm not 100%, like, everybody will argue it. I'm not 100% convinced about the moon. Because just for me, it's like, why 50 years later, we still haven't gone back? That bothers me. Or, I mean, and if we have gone back, I know like secret space programs, stuff. I'm saying like, how come you've never publicly gone back? Like, even like China hasn't set people, I mean, they set robots there, but they haven't actually set humans, haven't walked there since 1972. It's 2022,
right?
So it's like,
right, it doesn't make any sense,
right? Yeah. There's a lot that doesn't add up about that, exactly. But what my whole point earlier, where I was getting to, is being aware of all of this stuff, anything, just being aware of the fact that we're being fed bullshit for the most part on all areas, and it's largely to serve AI satanic agenda, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that you need to be aware of this stuff so you're not blindly participating in their agenda or their satanic rituals or whatever, because a lot of them are out in the open. And by getting people to participate in certain things that might seem innocent are actually serving their agenda. So you have to be aware of how they work, how they operate, what they're capable of, the lengths they'll go to, what's actually happening on this planet, the elites, the royal bloodlines that are actually running the show, what they're involved in. And it's some really dark stuff. And you have to go down that rabbit hole and you have to come out the other side and you just be like, okay, I know the one thing I know is that I don't know anything, but I for sure am not going to believe anything else I hear on TV.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I'm going to, sure, you have to start looking around and connecting the dots and painting a picture for yourself. And then that always goes back to going within, and like, it's a path of self-discovery, because you're grown up in the matrix, you're raised in the matrix. They hijack your identity right out of the gate. They want you the perfect slave, you know, and your
indoctrination campus,
right? And they want everybody, right. They want everybody the same. They want everybody to be the same. This is like zombie autopilot servant. And by getting to know yourself,
they want to keep you in fear. That's a big one. Keep you at a low vibration, right? So the mind control works way, way better the lower the vibration you're at and the more fear you're at. Then you just accept everything.
Right.
You fall into every trap, the agenda that they set, because it's all problem, reaction, solution. They get you afraid, so you'll accept willingly. In fact, you'll beg for a solution. They oh, here you go. And then you buy into it. And that goes for, it's, you know, just everything you hear on the mainstream media. They're taught in schools. The C thing that just happened with all that, went on with that, the jab.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. That. Like, for me, I kind of feel like a personal fallacy within my own self that I understand, and like a flaw, like a shadow thing I have to work on a lot, is I knew COVID was bullshit, like, as it, before it even happened, instantly, I didn't have to, I never even had to think about taking the vaccine. I never had to think, like, all I knew, all of that was bullshit. Like, in fact, I called it like right when it started happening.
You were already awake before.
I was already many years before that. So,
right.
You know, my big awakening happened in 2012. And then,
me too.
You know, yeah.
Same year.
That's a very common year, apparently. But so I have had a really hard time. Like, I lost a lot of good, like, real life friends during COVID, just because I I just because I wouldn't bend the knee, basically, you know.
A lot of people did.
It's mm-hmm. and that was real hard on my heartstrings and stuff. But I have a hard time now being like, if you haven't in the last couple of years, you didn't realize that someone picked up the phone. And Brooks Agnew actually said it to me. Someone did pick up the phone and do like, hey, let's follow lockstep. Like, let's shut the planet down. If you didn't realize that, like, this isn't the left and the right wing playing game. Like, this is mm-hmm. like something is controlling. It's something is like global. Like, we have a one world yeah. mafia. Okay.
Right.
Right.
You don't see that and you don't get that. And I have a hard time. First of all, like inside, I'm always like, you're dumb. Like you have low IQ, but then I'm like, Nikki, that's mean. Like, don't think like that about other people. I mean, you know, so I have like this dichotomy within me that I'm always going like, I have to release the anger and just be like, okay, well, that's their path. Like that's just like what they wanted to experience. That's how they wanted to go through it. Like that's cool or whatever. It's like, right. We can all experience this different, but I don't know if the last 2.5, whatever, how many long it's been.
If you haven't woken up.
Then I don't think you're going to.
Right.
You're probably not ever.
And, you know, I don't want to hold, I like to hold space for everyone to change, you know, and don't freeze anyone in time. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a very apparent, like, how do you not see it? But maybe, like you said, that is their path or their lesson. Or, you know, maybe those people are creating some sort of balance. You know, it's like, who knows? I always wonder, I always think about that stuff because polarity, duality, it all has to exist. And so for all of us waking up, there has to be the equal balance, right? And maybe that's like what they call background people, these NPCs.
I was like, what do you think of NPCs?
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe they're there to actually maintain some sort of balance. I keep saying balance, but I don't know.
Maybe.
And obviously, like the whole fear thing, like you were saying earlier, like you can't combat the dark if you're living in fear, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why it's constantly that's their agenda. Like at the top of the chain, it's fear ultimately, because right. if you're scared to die, like you're not going to get the jab if you're not scared to die. Like, I don't care. I'm ready to go.
Death is yeah. There's nothing to fear because death is not something to be afraid of.
Right.
To transition.
Like without the fear of death, there is no pandemic.
So it's all based on an illusion that they get you to believe. It's all basically a big psyop. It's a big trick to get you to believe things. And then you basically create for them. And that's been the whole game this whole entire time, that the cabal or these dark entities have been in control is trick the entire human population into creating the reality that they want us to create.
Right. Because they're not actually as powerful.
They're not. We have all the power.
They need us to participate in all that stuff to even give it power, to manifest. They understand that your thoughts create your reality. So they subliminally pump all those thoughts into our head via frequencies and mind control and whatever, the mainstream media, all the propaganda. And like he just said, you know, you create their reality that they want to create, and you lend to that because they can't do it without you.
You know, I'm trying to really change my perspective on a lot of stuff. Like, they're putting a 5G tower, like literally 100 feet from my head, like outside, like by my house. And I was at first like a little bit pissed off about it and stuff. And then I was thinking about it, like, well, maybe there's a way that we can like transmute a lot of this stuff. Like, maybe instead of always feeling powerless or feeling like, okay, well, like that's something, I don't know, maybe I can energetically attune the frequency to be something that's beneficial for everybody that feels the effects of that instead of negative. You know, like there's like, if it is a matrix, if it is like your thoughts create reality, then I mean, maybe we really can power up and start just like whatever. I mean, like, I'm a big proponent of, you know, like self-healing. Like, I'm really into like, I can heal myself with energy kind of stuff, you know. I don't know. And I start questioning everything. And do we really have to age the way that we have to age? Like, you know, do we all this thing, I think things are told to me, but then you can see like outliers and I'm just kind of going like, I don't know. I started telling myself when I was 20 that I was like, no, I'm not going to age. Like, like, let's just, I'm just not going to do it. And right. like, I don't know. I mean, I'm 40, but it's still, it's like one of those things where I'm like, I don't know. I'll just,
you look really good one. For 40. So there you go.
Thanks. Okay. There you go. We look
good. That mindset goes a long way though. That mindset goes a long way. You know, if you walk around thinking, man, I'm so old, I'm, you know, whatever. You are. That's exactly what you are. You are exactly what you think.
But your biology is always responding to your energetic state, which is responding to your beliefs. So you see the chain there. So it's like you believe, and that's why people that are always stressed or in fear or worried all the time, they get all these diseases, they're sick all the time, they have all these problems.
They look terrible.
They age faster. Your biology is, it's like, it's the chain there. So you are creating your own health, and you're also, why wouldn't you be in charge of that as well? The aging process, it only makes sense.
Well, I mean, I always tell my nieces and nephews, like, anytime that I'm always like, what are words? Words or spells? What are words? What are they? What are they? repeat after me. What are they? Spells, words or spells. Okay. If you've got any programming, remember that one.
They call
words
it spelling.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Spelling. Right.
We're telling you.
It's and I always have to, you know, I'm not perfect. I have to self-correct myself in a lot of things. Cause like you just, always. It's so amazing how much program we have just from everything in our whole life is, and I always have to ask, like, why do I believe that's true? Like, let me re-examine that. Like, why, who told me this? Like, how do I know this is true?
Exactly. You have to start like, okay, are these my thoughts? Are these like program thoughts? Because what a lot of times when you argue with people or try to debate somebody about something, nine times out of 10, they're parroting something that they heard somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing they actually sat and actually thought about.
They're just repeating what they've.
And that's what we have to do. Like, so they know that. They know us better than we know ourselves. So we tell ourselves these stories, you know, that limit us in all ways. And just by understanding that you can break free from that and go beyond and heal yourself and de-age yourself, you know, whatever it is, age regress yourself would be a better way to put it. I think it's all possible. I think it's all very possible. And it sounds woo-woo because, you know, you can't actually see it happening. But you also don't see anything happening around you until it's too late. You look around and like, how did we get here? You know, you don't see anything happening almost in real time. But it all has an effect. They can manipulate reality. So can we.
Well, okay. So let's what do you guys think about time travel? Like talking about manipulating your reality.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's
this rabbit hole.
part of, you know, part of the aging process, you know, it's like bending time. Like you can, maybe you're going to age, but you're just slowing down time in your reality. So, you know, you're staying younger, longer. I think time travel is very real. I think it's been happening for years. I think the government's been experimenting with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much disclosure.
Had Andrew Bishago on our show a few weeks ago, and he claims he was in
Project Pegasus
in the 70s, where he went back in time. And he claims there's a photo of him
with Abraham Lincoln. I saw that one.
Gettysburg address with Lincoln. And he's like, that's me in the photo. Yeah.
But so. And then he talks about 8 different modalities of time travel they were using back in the 70s. So where are we at today? Like, who knows? Like I think the possibilities are absolutely endless. I think, you know, obviously everything in the quantum field is nonlinear. So if we think of time and everything on this linear scale, but when it's nonlinear, and you can picture it as a loop or whatever you want, but you start looking at it that way, you can start to, you know, okay, maybe time travel is possible if you want to come at it from like the most basic standpoint. That's the first thing you have to do. First of all, you have to realize time doesn't exist. And then second of all, you have to realize it's nonlinear. It's so hard to say time doesn't exist because even
it doesn't, it doesn't.
Right. But because no matter what, you're like, you're still counting something. You're counting revolutions around the sun. There's a day and night cycle that you can't ignore, which forces you to like, you know, categorize it.
I would say time exists in this third dimension as an experience, but ultimately it's an illusion. And when you get above the third dimension, you're out of that illusion that we're kind of trapped in this 3D realm. So time exists, I think, for a purpose. So you're able to have experiences. So you can have point A to point B and have a experience, you know. Otherwise, if everything, because yeah, ultimately everything is happening all at once, because there's only the now is all that exists. So that's all that can be. But there's the experience of time where you're able to have experiences, you're able to have growth from that, you're able to it's kind of like a tool in a way, is the yeah. way I see it. But it is ultimately an illusion, because the now is all that exists, which is why when you're worried about the future, or you're regretting the past, or you're upset about what happened, you're completely out of alignment, because your consciousness is basically being preoccupied by something that's an illusion. like
yeah, you're not,
the now is all that is. So
exactly,
you're completely not present, and then you are you're kind of not in your body, basically not really living when you are stuck there, because you're not living in the present, which is all, everything's happening in the now. So
well, anytime that I ever am struggling anywhere in my life, I have to remind myself to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start observing your surroundings, and like almost all your worries go away immediately, because no one's looking around them. Like you can't even tell, you can walk into a restaurant and leave, and you can ask somebody questions about the restaurant and they won't be able to answer any of them. How many outlets were in the room? How many lights were in the room? What color were the chairs? Whatever. Like, are they going to be able to tell you any of that? They might be able to tell you how the food tasted, but people aren't actually paying attention to their surroundings. People aren't actually present. You know, it's always about, you know, you're stressing about something or regretting something you did, or you're worried about something in the future, which is the definition of anxiety. But going, you know, as far as the time travel goes, I think that all starts, like, I think we're all time travelers. I think it, like, remote viewing is like, the first step to time travel. Like, I think we can all do it consciously. Like, you can time travel in your mind before you actually physically time travel. And I think you can do that. I think you can go to certain points in time whenever you master that, and you start unlocking or activating like your pineal gland or your third eye and innate abilities that have been suppressed. And like, I had this dream that was so real that I was this time traveler, and I didn't need anything around me but the local rocks. And the rocks, they're record keepers. They store the data of all time and history of that location. So if I wanted to go at any point in time, I would actually just somehow connect with that rock, and it would take me there. And I'm like, maybe there's actually something to this.
Okay, that's really weird, because like I have a pilot friend who gave me some rocks they brought back from Antarctica, and he was asking me if I can like remote view Antarctica, if I could see what's going on in Antarctica. And I was like, I don't know, but I'm like a really good lucid dreamer. And I basically lucid dream every night of my life. Like, I just didn't know that that was a thing that everybody didn't do until like later. And I'm a dream walker. Like, I can go in other people's dreams kind of thing. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. Yeah. I'll do what you want me to. Like, I'll just go and I'll try Antarctica. So I got his rocks, and I was like sleeping with them, like on, like touching my body, like as I was sleeping. And it took me like a week to get in. Antarctica was so hard to get into, but like, and this just happened like, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And it was crazy, man. But basically what I saw was, I was like taken out to the macro view of Antarctica, and it looked like we were in a realm, like, and like Earth was a bubble, and it was a realm, and there was all, and it's like a 3D flower of life. Like, there was all these other bubbles that are touching it, like Olympic rings kind of thing. And like we're in an ocean wave of like this, like, realms that are in this interlocking situation, and our current place that we're at in the present now, we're pushed up against the realm that is interlacing with Antarctica the most. So there's other realms touching us, like a Garth, like Shambhala, or you got like, you know, whatever, like there's all kinds of other realms that are touching us, but the realm that we're like most pushed into at this present now is Antarctica. And it was like all the ice was an illusion, and it was like this gassy vapor that was essentially meant for us to be like, this is dream time, okay guys, but still, but it was meant to be a cloak, so that we and it was like they this vapor that they have where the vels collide, is like you physically don't want to go there. You're not interested in it when you think or when you hear about it, when you look at it, like it's like the it's a very strong cloaking device. And yeah. I was looking at it, and there it the other consciousness in that realm is got ETs that are coming in. They can only cohabitate, or those particular ETs that are in that realm can only live in Antarctica because that's also in their realm as well. But they can still like take their craft and come in and out all the time. It was a really bizarre dream, but I think there's something to the rocks being able to use for travel, especially yeah. in Japan with that. So that's
I agree. I really do. That I don't know how to do it in my dream. I knew how to do it, but I don't know how to do it here. And it's interesting you're talking about the realms and different, like you can say realms, dimensions, veils, whatever. That's one thing people argue about, like inner Earth, is it existing in another dimension, the fifth dimension? And we've had people claim that you can't just go down to inner Earth and find their city. You have to be invited. And you're only invited, the people are based on your intentions, purely based on your intention. The purest intention people might get the invite, but you're not going to, like, if you're a murderer or something, you're not going to get accepted down into yeah. their high vibe society or civilization or dimension, whatever it is. And like you said, Agartha realm, like that's what that would be. It could essentially be a realm. I don't know how it works, but it's interesting to look at it that way.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they can't come to the surface because it would physically, like,
it's too dense.
It's too dense. Mm-hmm. And even our thoughts, like even our words and our thoughts, any negative thoughts would actually physically hurt them. Like mm-hmm. it would actually be painful for them because we're such a negatively oriented race, unfortunately. And even the people who aren't negative, we still look at people sometimes and we have these negative thoughts. It's just like programmed into us. And they feel that they're so empathic. They feel it. Therefore, if they were to come to the surface, they would have to, I guess, lower their vibration or mm-hmm. use a different vessel. I don't know.
I do feel like humans are very impressionable. Like, I mean, to a fault. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is about, but yeah, I mean, like, we are very easy programmable. It sucks though too, because it's like they get us from birth, you know, you right. even from your in your home too. So it's kind of,
well, that's where it starts. Exactly. Like if we were raised in a different society with different set of rules, we might not be as impressionable. And I actually, some of these younger kids, like my nephew is a perfect example of it. He's not impressionable. Actually, he's like he's stubborn. He has a mind of his own. And it's amazing because at that age, like I remember being more scared and I would just do whatever the adult said or whatever. And he's just thinking for himself. And it's, you know, it might look like he's being a little asshole, but I'm like, actually, no, he's not taking bullshit.
Like that text thread you sent yeah. the other day.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just interesting because I think we're starting to see a shift as far as like these, I guess you can call them indigo children or star seeds or whatever. I think that our reality is changing slowly. You're not going to see it happen before your eyes. Before you know it, we're going to have a civilization of people operating differently than they once did. And we already know that's happening now when we just look into the past a little bit. Even we looked different, but that might have something to do with the genetic modification. But still, things are changing, constantly evolving.
What do you guys think of the whole star seed thing?
As far as
like, are you star seeds? Like, what's your overview of what that whole thing is, the agenda of that whole thing?
Yes.
Because I'm a star seed. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Same.
I think we all are.
Yeah. I think ultimately everyone is on some level. But there's a number of people who are waking up to that, becoming aware of it.
I think there's a lot of souls that have only been on Earth that are here that are younger souls. I think they've probably only had human Earth mainly incarnations,
right? But if you go back to, like, I don't know, like if you want to use like the Thea Uber prophecy as a template, like even the original humans came from another planet. So it's like even
well
that,
well
even
the genetics
the genetics, like I'm saying, their ancestors,
yeah. But I think maybe on a soul level there's it's possible there's a lot of beings, or maybe they've only had, you know, just not as many other lives. But I think the ones like us three that are awake to this level right now are probably a lot older souls that have had many, many other incarnations as other beings from other star systems.
Or just more memory. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think there's more and more that are, this is their first ever human incarnation. And actually that comes through a lot of like Dolores Cannon would talk about that. Like she's like, as she went on in her career, more and more people, this would be their very first incarnation as a human on Earth. And then she's like, some would literally be straight from source. Like this is their first ever incarnation. Yeah. Because we're getting so much help coming in because this planet needs it, because this planet has been in so much trouble because of the Dark Ones and their agenda and what's going on. Like it's kind of like the planet Gaia send out a help signal throughout the universe, cosmos, essentially, yeah. Or at least the galaxy, I don't remember. But you know, we kind of answered the call. We heard it and we came to help. That's why we're here, and that's why the main reason I know there's hope, because we wouldn't come here if we're just doomed, you know, to experience a hell reality. Like it doesn't make any sense. Right. And the fact that we are all here, we are changing things, just us being here.
Yeah.
We're raising the vibration, we're anchoring the light, the energies,
and
we're changing things just being here.
It's interesting because people look around and I see people losing hope because of what they see taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what Daryl James said. I don't know if you're familiar with him. We've had him on the show a few times. He talks about his experience in the military and the secret space program. But he said that, you know, the way it was explained to him is that these times right now have to get so bad that it affects us at a cellular level. So it's ingrained in our DNA so that the future generations, like it's literally in their DNA that they will not let this happen again.
Yeah.
It's it's reprogramming us right now. It has to get so bad. It has to affect us at a cellular level. And it's to ensure the survival of the future generations. Like it sounds crazy, but it's not going to look pretty for a little bit, you know, for a little while.
Darkest before the dawn kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I like during COVID was just like, oh my God, this is the worst. I was just so like, you know, 2020 was like, oh, I hate this place. It was just horrible. But then I think on the back end of it, coming out of it, I'm thinking like, oh, actually I do have a lot more hope because like, I mean, there's no, what is it? It's like that whole concept of there's no complying your way to freedom. You know, mm-hmm. there's no, you're not going to comply your way out of this.
An oxymoron. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's not just get along to get along. Just, you know, don't rock.
Maybe if we obey them really well, they'll give us freedom.
It'll be good. Next. Yeah. Right. So I think for me, even my own personal, like you couldn't get me to mask if you want to again.
Right.
Like I would just be like, I'll just not come into your establishment anymore.
It's, right.
I reached a breaking point in like, I'm a flight attendant and I reached a breaking point in January of 2022 where we were still wearing the mask or whatever, but I refused to put it over my nose. Like even as the person telling you to put a mask on, I would have it like this, like, and I wouldn't even say the word. I would ignore that part of the announcements. I decided not to recognize it. I'd get lollipops and suckers and just take my mask off and just always have one in my mouth. And then like, right. What? Like, I'm not playing it anymore. Like I'm not complying. You have to, you just like, I mean, and I know some people, you love your mask and that's good on you and some stuff, but I'm just saying for me personally, your safety doesn't trump my freedom, and it never will ever again. And
with no science to back up why we should actually, if the masks are actually doing anything, well, even going beyond that, if the C thing was even as bad as they were saying, which it wasn't. So that was, you know, first you got to prove that, but of course they just pump out the fear of it to make the illusion that oh my God, people are dying left and right, and it's so bad, so we got to lock everything down and everyone's got to wear a mask.
Let's say it was the bubonic plague. It's not. It wasn't. But if it was,
but even if it was,
still my prerogative to do.
You still have. Yeah, you still are a sovereign being that can do what you want. And you don't have to obey
authority. And I mean, you can obviously we can talk about this subject forever. I mean, we did it, at the end of the day, it's all an illusion. But my favorite thing is that the whole mask deal, like if it was a real pandemic, like they would have like biohazard discard containers for the mask. Like you can't just take them off, and because they, your mask would now contain the virus, right?
Yeah.
So you, like, where are those at? They're just like haphazardly thrown around, polluting the whole, you know, world worse than straws. You know, it's like, and straws are right. The problem.
Yeah, I mean, and I also kind of feel like it was just like another muzzle to just, it was a humiliating muzzle.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah. Well, when you understand who the people are behind these groups that are,
so what who do you think the breakaway civilization is, or who do you think is behind all this? Like, what, like, because, like, I don't know 100%. I know that they're assholes. Well, but other than that, I don't really know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
well, there's different levels to that, that, depending on who you talk to, you know, if you really go down the rabbit holes and you really do your research, it goes beyond humans that are at the top of this pyramid. And it's, you know, people, you hear people talking about the reptilians or the Draco reptilians, which I do believe are, or at least were in power, maybe until recently, possibly still are, but, were kind of, at least on a physical level, the group at the top of the pyramid controlling the Earth cabal or the Illuminati or whatever term New World Order, whatever term you want to call them, that are at the head of all the governments, the deep state, you know, on the planet. But the Draco, and then I think above the Draco are just dark entities that aren't physical that are controlling them. And but no matter what, at the top of the pyramid are not humans, and that's why it's such an anti-human, anti-life agenda, because they're not humans. Well, they're not
even, here's what, I'll take it a step further though. Some of these people look like people, but they're not humans.
Also
like
that,
humans, but they're not humans.
Also that, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that. I think, like, on, you know, there is a royal, the 12 or 13 families, but then I think there's people above them, elites above them that we would never recognize. Not one person on this planet knows who they are. They could be at the grocery store. You would never know they're there, and they might be, you know.
So there's like, the, you know, there's the Freemasons, but they're above them as probably like the Jesuits and the Black Nobility. If you hear people talk about that, and they might be the top of like the human or semi-human Earth cabal, but then you got the Draco reptilians above them. And I think we've had a lot of we have a lot of benevolent ET friends that are here helping. I think they've been taking them out and kind of like freeing us on that level. So, and giving us a chance to free ourselves, because
it can't be done for us.
Yeah.
Entirely.
We don't have the tools obviously to,
but
we were so deep in that, you know,
I think a lot about, no one's coming to save us in terms of, I think we really do have to, on an individual basis,
yeah,
step up to the plate and save yourself. Like, you really do have to step into your own sovereignty and not expect it to come from somewhere else.
Right.
Like, no, not fully, at least. Yeah. I mean, they're giving us the chance to do that, is what I believe. So now we have to, they're letting things, they're like, all right, we've done our part. Now you guys got to clean up your own mess here and step into your sovereignty. And like, first we're being allowed to see the agendas play out, we're experience it, feel it, like you were talking about earlier. So this will never happen again. We're kind of like, learn our lessons, wake up. It's waking people up, and now we get to choose, is this what I want, or what do I actually want to create? And now we're getting a chance to step into our power with what we actually want to create and see our world
and
come into.
And ultimately, everybody's making a choice right now, because some people, this information is laid in front of them. They see it. Now they're aware, but they're not making any changes. So they're like subconsciously choosing that lower timeline that might not ascend, or whatever you want to say, however you want to view that.
Right.
But again, what I said earlier, like, it's also about being aware enough so you're not blindly complying. Like, you have, you have the choice right now to do something about it. Like you said, it comes down to the individual. I fully agree with that. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter who's here. Like, even if somebody was here to help us, if you're not doing anything to better your situation, you know, you're not doing anything to better anyone's situation, because, you know, it's just,
right.
It's okay, just so, one of those. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, yeah, yeah, you finish.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm a bad interrupter. It's a flaw. It's another flaw of mine. And people complain about it on my channel a lot. And if I could change it, I would. But anyway, maybe I could.
No, it's fine.
But okay, so what do you think? Do you guys, how do you feel about, do you think like we're going to run into a catalyst? Do you think there's going to be like a pole shift, a solar flash? Do you think there's going to be like a catastrophe? Like, do you think there's going to be like a day where it's like, boom, it's all going to explode and we're here for the show of why we're here? Or do you think this is all like a gradual, like mini generational change within humanity? Like, what do you think's like going to happen with all that?
I think that's possible, but I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of talk about the solar flash or a pole shift or flip.
Here's what I'll say about that is I agree. I think all of it's possible. Don't count it. Everything's possible.
We everything's know that. Possible.
I lean more towards it's going to be more of a generational thing. It's going to be more integrated. Things are going to happen at a slower pace, but I don't rule out any catalyst. I don't rule that out whatsoever. But at the same time, what I see everyone doing is basically we just need to stop trying to predict the future because it doesn't matter what's going to happen. Like you said earlier, it's about right now. Like literally, what are we doing right now about it? And what are you doing every day? Even if you don't have the ability to go out there and create a channel and like speak your voice, there's things you could do to better yourself and to prepare yourself for whatever might be coming. Mm-hmm. So you can be ready whenever anything does happen. You're not going to be shocked and you're going to, you're going to be self-aware enough to be able to handle yourself and not panic if something like that did happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like there was a point where I got kind of preppery, you know, like I got a bunch of food for 2 years or something. And I have a bunch of knives and some lighters. And then I kind of thought about it. I'm like, I don't want to live in Mad Max world. And then not only that, but it's just like, it's like, okay. And then what happens when those are gone and all that? Then I was kind of like, okay, I don't even think about that anymore. Like what you really have to do is be able to prepare yourself for anything, whether it's gradual or something sudden, if something ever happens or not, and be able to like be clear headed and roll with the punches as that comes, like in that present time, which that is, there's no amount of materialistic stuff you can have collected to prepare you for that. Like that's internal work.
It's internal work. And it's, you have to be like emotionally ready also. And stable, emotionally stable. That's why you have to go on the inner healing journey so you can respond in a healthy manner instead of reacting in panic like that, like they want you to when anything happens. And another reason that you want to do that also is because we already know not everyone is doing this work, not everyone is doing that. So people are going to be looking to us or all the truthers or anyone who's at least somewhat privy to what's happening. They're going to be looking around for help, and we can be solid enough within ourselves to actually be somebody so someone can actually lean on us if they had to, you know, in a hard time.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know. So tell us about your conference. You guys have like you're conferencers now. You're putter honors of conferences.
Right.
Conferencers.
Yeah. It's amazing. Actually, it's funny because it started off as a phone call podcast. You know, our first episode was basically a phone call.
Yeah.
And it's become so much more than just a podcast now. Like, it's like, wow, we're actually putting on our second conference now. And it's just becoming something. It's amazing, you know, and we're so grateful to be in this position to have a platform so we can actually reach people to let like sell tickets and all this stuff. You know, we couldn't just do this if we were just on our own, two guys in the basement. Right.
We could have just been a lot harder.
Right. Exactly. Like
way, way harder.
But, you know, we've created this platform now that we can actually do that. And I think it's amazing. And we're really excited about the second one. It's in Grafton, Illinois, May 22nd through the 25th. It's a broad range of speakers. Brooks Agnew is going to be there. You know, there's a number of people. But last year we covered primarily secret space program. This year it's going to be a broader, all-encompassing of just everything in general right now, the entire awakening disclosure movement. And more than that, we just want to create like the best time ever. Like last year, it was just a blast. Like you can like just remove
is
all
this
the
at a hotel or what is it like a where
it's
is it
a at a it's at a lodge. Yeah,
it's at a lodge, but it's like a vacation spot anyway. So
yeah.
People will go, it's a place you would want to spend 4 days at even if there wasn't a conference.
Okay, so like the hotel's inside this lodge, and so if you go in, you would get a hotel there, and you're like,
yeah, there's rooms inside of it.
There's cabins,
but there's cabins outside too.
There's the property. Cabins. Yeah. It's like an old school wood, like log cabin type of lodge of stone and logs, but it's a beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful
area.
Stunning. It's just when you walk in, it's just like that has that wow factor.
How many people are supposed to come to are you
roughly between 200 to 300 depending on
how many tickets we sell.
So it's not huge, but we like it that way. Actually, we prefer it that way. We've been to some larger conferences and it's just not the same. They're great but
we like the more intimate conferences.
Yeah, you get to know like closer friends that way, or you get to
it's meet more people. Of a family experience.
Yeah,
it's
and ones that are more in nature. I'm not a fan of the ones that are just in a hotel in the middle of a city. Like,
right,
it's just not the right feel for me. You know.
Yeah, this is a very.
You guys are conference goers, so you kind of know the like.
Right. Yeah. We kind of took everything we liked about all the conferences we'd been to, and we were like, let's try to make a conference that incorporates everything we love about all the I like this about this conference, this about this, when we put it all together, and that's
and then everything we didn't like, we're like, let me make sure we don't
and
do that.
Don't do the things we didn't like. Yeah,
and
exactly.
I was privileged enough to be a part of planning of a few other conferences, and so I got to see what went into it behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from being participating, and I got to a point where I was like, we could do this. And then, you know, mm-hmm. we took it on the first year, and it was actually, I bit off more than I could chew.
A little stressful.
It was, but I had no idea what I was doing. I learned so much this year. It's already way, way less stress. Mm-hmm. I know what to expect. I know what I'm getting myself into. I know where I need help. I know where I don't need help. It's just becoming a lot. We're
more prepared this year.
Are you guys in the door. An annual one, like, or biannual?
Well, this would be the second year in a row. So yeah. We'll see what that turns into. Who knows?
Well, it was, so we did it in May, and it was called the Secret Space Conference, because like you said, it was secret space program themed strictly. So we had all the SSP experiencers that we'd had on the show speak at the conference last time. And that was awesome. But the only thing about that is like a lot of that info, it's very dark and kind of traumatic and very, you know, it
hard to sit like, with all day long.
Yeah, it's just a lot when you get so much of that all at one conference. You're in 4 days, you know, you're just getting bombarded with all that info. For us, it wasn't as much because we're more used. We've been following a lot of these people for a while, and we're used to that information. But for the people that weren't as used to it, I could tell some of them were a little bit like, whoa, this is a lot, yeah, you know, right now.
But I like looking at that, using it as a gauge because think about like people say, let's rip the bandaid off and tell everybody the truth of everything, the public, the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the few people that came to our conference, if 4 days of that information was too much for just a couple people, imagine what that information would do to the
planet,
to the planet, like
all at once. Yeah.
Right. And not even just to take the secret space program out of it. Like there's other things that are even worse that we didn't talk about.
Child trafficking.
Yeah. But this year is going to be a little bit more lighthearted as far as that goes. We're going to have, it's going to be a blast no matter what. And maybe it will be an annual thing.
There's an online component, right? Like you can
live stream. Yeah. The live stream ticket's $99 and that gets you all 4 day events, and you'll get like a downloadable link afterwards. And, or a 6-month replay, I think it'll be.
All that to say, it's going to be more high vibe this year,
right? I thought it was great.
I loved it. No, it was amazing. But over like the content will be not quite as heavy, I guess. Maybe, you know, some of it, like Tony's going to be there. Tony Rodriguez, right. He's the only returning SSP guy from last year, but. I just like the fact, this year it's going to be like people of all different areas of the awakening.
Community. Well, I think that's really cool that you guys are doing that. Are you going to have any CE5s or anything like that?
Well, we're going to Skywatch every night.
If the weather permits.
Yeah. Last year wasn't so great.
But we end up having bonfires instead, which was a blast anyway. Like, you know, it doesn't even matter what you're doing. It's just when you're around all those people, it's fun anyway, you know? So But yeah, we did like what we just call Skywatch, you know. And
we'll have chairs and just, you know, be watching for the UFOs and
or whatever, ships
or whatever, whatever comes in. Yeah.
Cool. So you're going to, if this is your first time going to Egypt, you're going to like.
This is my first. Yeah, I can't wait.
Who are you going with?
It's actually Carrie Cassidy. It's her trip. Yeah. So it's her and this other lady that I don't know that putting it on. And I'm going with my girlfriend who she found out about it through her good friend that was like, she was just like, Amanda, we're going on this. She just like told, she's like, all right.
Because
she's never been to Egypt either. And then Amanda told me about it. And I'm like, yeah, I've been wanting to go to Egypt for years. And this is, it just, you know, it's like, all right.
Okay. So I got to be alone in the Great Pyramid for like 20 minutes or no, I don't know. It's probably more like 15 or 10, 15. I don't really know, but, I didn't know that I was going to get that opportunity. Cause like we had rented out the Great Pyramid, but I was there with 20 other people, but I found myself like in there and no one else was in there. So I was like, oh, okay. So I run over and I jump into the box, like the sarcophagus or whatever. And I had just gone to like, a Native American elder, like a conference basically, or like a festival, like the month before that. And I met this guy who told me about this portal in Atlantis, which I ended up going to in 2020. But anyway, he gave me a spell. And like, I was like, I thought like that he said it was a portal opener. And I was like, that's not going to work or whatever. But then I was sitting there in the sarcophagus or whatever. It's not a sarcophagus, whatever, the box inside the chamber. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to meditate because I don't want to close my eyes because I just want to like, I'm only going to be here for so long. But I don't know how long I have. I have any second somebody could walk in here. So I'm like, what should I do alone in the King's Chamber in this box? And then I was like, oh, I'll say that spell that old shaman guy gave me. And so I started saying it. And I now on retrospect, that's kind of stupid. Like, you know, you don't know. Hey, yeah.
But at the time, though.
Right. Yeah. At the time I was like, okay, cool. So I say it and this like literally this thing starts popping out of the ceiling and it was like basically looked like a you know like how they have those skirts like that sort of thing. Like so it was like a profile of like a guy with a skirt and like a thing from the top of his head. It didn't form like any clearer than that, you know, because it was just starting to form out of the granite. And then I like got scared that I like something was working and I was like, oh my God. And then like, so I stop it and then I could hear people coming in. And then as soon as like they got in, it kind of like just almost like dissipated into smoke. But then I sat there for the rest of the time going like, what is the Great Pyramid? I think this is a portal opener. Like, I think it like is a Stargate. And I tell people that I'm like, I think it's a machine that works.
Yeah, I think
it is. It's a technology.
It's a communications device.
There's multiple.
Apparently used to control weather to keep a optimal climate for like the tropical conditions that we hear about. There's a number of there's so many it was multi-purpose.
Yeah, well, in pyramids in general, there's science that's proven that it harnesses energy that you know plants grow way bigger, your people go in them with diseases and they end up cured, like you end up in better health. Like there's actually that has proven that, and so there's that just with pyramids in general. And then there's all that what you said. I've heard it was used to communicate with ET civilizations far away. There's all kinds of stuff.
I think I've also heard someone explain it as the pyramid grid system is, you know, they're all over the planet. It's also their energy points where Mother Earth herself can actually receive downloads. Because she's ascending too, along with us. And without her ascension, we can't ascend. So it's all happening simultaneously. And, you know, who knows, but this is just, I don't know where this information came from, but it's interesting to think about. The pyramids are also being utilized for like an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on every continent too, every single continent.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Including Antarctica.
Strategically placed.
Pyramids, yep.
Right. Including 25 minutes from our house.
They're on Mars and other planets as well. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, they really are you know, and like some of the mainstream people will say, like, well, it's the most basic shape. I'm like, oh, really?
Like, simple. No. I mean, less is more. Simple. Sometimes simple's better. You know, Occam's razor. It's all like it's simple. Maybe it's not, but it's effective. That's what matters.
Yeah, and there's a theory that like a mountain is basically a natural pyramid, or you could say a pyramid is an artificially made mountain because they both are like vortexes, and that's why you have like Mount Shasta and Mount Adams and these places that those areas are vortexes because of the mountain that's there. Harnessing.
I mean, it's provable, like the Bosnian period, they've done like scientific studies that that pyramid is emitting energy, and it's the shape of it. And the further away they get from the pyramid, the stronger that field gets, and stronger that whatever it is, electromagnetic, whatever they're picking up.
Right.
But I mean, even an organite pyramid, like this is an awesome one, but you can get some tools and you can actually measure the effect this thing is having, and always right above it, your counter, your Geiger counter, whatever you're using, is going to read differently than the surrounding area. So the shape in itself is automatically producing some sort of energy field, and it works with the electric universe that Tesla talked about. It doesn't have to look like anything fancy to be extremely effective.
Yeah, I think like the pyramid power by that Patrick Flanagan guy, that's got some awesome information about that.
I have that book.
I had this John Cadman on recently who was really obsessed with the subterranean chamber of the Great Pyramid, and he was talking about how there is a frequency that, like, he built a model of it in Oregon, or I think Washington State anyway, and like he even speculates in that he's thinking that it may have been a tectonic plate stabilizer, like that's
I've heard that as well, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Stabilized. Yeah.
All right. Would have created a frequency that's strong enough to do such.
I think it was a tomb.
No, yeah. You know what? None of that's true. It was just a tomb.
You know what's interesting about the sarcophagus or the box that you laid in? You know, Stargate SG-1. If you ever watch that show, they depict the sarcophagus not being somewhere they buried their dead, but like a regen chamber, like a regeneration tank or chamber that would basically heal you, a healing chamber, you could call it. Who knows? Maybe there's, and someone told me one time, like all this stuff that looks insignificant in Egypt and all around the world, these stone artifacts and stuff, they actually have components in other dimensions that we can't see. It's so who knows if there's like more to it that is actually there all the time. It looks insignificant to us because of our visible spectrum, but that somebody at that frequency could come in and utilize it and actually turn it on. Who knows?
Well, I was at the Bent Pyramid, and when on right outside of the Bent Pyramid, there is almost like a little temple that was built, and underneath this little, there's still the T part of the temple gate or whatever that's right next there. And there's, look down, and there's basically, it looks like there's a little enclave for a human head to lay in, you know, and then there's stones that go like line up to the pyramid with it and coming right out of that. And to me, it just was like an automatic, it's just like, oh, okay, this is for healing. Like you would lay there to heal. Like that's just like an instant knowing I had, who knows if I know correctly or not, but that's just like, I also got sort of that impression too.
I think that's the kind of eyes that we need to have on these ancient sites, because, you know, these indoctrinated scientists, archaeologists and all stuff, you know, unfortunately they're making some great discoveries, but they're limiting themselves because of their beliefs. Right. So like they're not going to come to that conclusion that someone would lay here to be healed. They're going to put some sort of logical, practical application explanation.
Everything has to fit into their box that they have. It's a religion. Everything has to fit in their dogmatic belief.
Fit into the history that we're handed. So if it's outside, and it's funny because some of this stuff, they create an explanation for something that's clearly like outlandish.
It's ridiculous.
It fits into that mainstream history.
And you know, the mainstream has been taking a beating recently with the whole like that whole Graham Cat Core. And I will say this: it's like about 6 months, I worked at a conservation studio where I was like putting together 3D objects, like broken pots and things like that. I was I remember at some point I was trying to be an apprentice to be a conservator at some point. And I felt like, man, this is like a glorified janitor job. I'm just like cleaning stuff. I'm like cleaning little tiny stuff or cleaning, putting back together, you know, fragmented stuff or whatever, which it became tedious and everything. And then I had to think about it. I was like, I would rather be the person who created something versus the one who had to put it back together. But I appreciate that the archaeologist, I love that they spend the hours digging it up for us. I love that they are, you know, so meticulous with all of the things, the artifacts that they find and display. That's amazing. Like they have great, but it's almost one of those things where, but they aren't the gatekeepers. They aren't the only people that get to interpret that which they found.
Right.
Yes.
You know,
right.
It's just, well, I, you know, so.
Well, what I said wasn't a blanket statement because all those individuals, you know, and they get, there's beautiful souls and there's great minds at work and they're all doing the work and everyone plays their part and has a piece of the puzzle. And just because, you know, they learned something in school that, you know, limits them from expanding their consciousness doesn't mean that they're still not a beautiful soul and not a brilliant mind. And we can't, I don't want to discount these people and take that away from them because we're all just, we're all in that position.
Yeah.
You know, we're all programmed on some level.
Still under the
yeah, right. Programming. I mean, we're still under some programming on some level. Everyone is, you know.
But there is a level you get to where you're generally a free thinker and
right.
rather than you just don't ever think for yourself.
Everyone plays a part, like she said, though, yeah. like they're doing some great work. That
yeah, they're still doing good work on that level.
Yeah, I don't want to like sound like we're putting ourselves on a pedestal. I realize that when we talk about this stuff, sometimes it comes across that way. And I don't want people to think that's the case.
I struggle with that sometimes, too. And I have to be like, okay, wait. Wait, okay, like let's, yeah, I mean, it's a balance. Everything's a weird balance, it is. But yeah, I totally didn't think that you were putting them all down either. I just was like, even for my own self, like in terms of like all the conversation that's going on right now against like the archaeologists, it's like, okay, yes, they are in a very tiny little box, but they, you know, yeah. But I appreciate what they do. But it is in general, I think a lot of academia in general or, you know, there's gatekeepers to everything. It's like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. we compartmentalize everything so much that, okay, I'm sorry, but you haven't named this stuff. We named it. We named the parts. So you don't get to talk about the things that we named. So, right. you know, that's essentially how it works.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, okay, you guys, thank you so much for your time. This has been really awesome. I enjoyed having you guys on. So is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you maybe wanted to say about your conference or anything?
I did just want to let people know that where they can get tickets, journeytotruthcon.com, okay. journeytotruthcon.com. And all the information is available because we didn't get to let people know earlier. So if you're interested, come out and hang out with us. It's going to be a blast.
Okay, cool. And where else can they find you? The Journey to Truth podcast / you're on all the Spotify stuff or what are you on?
Spotify kicked us off.
Yeah, Spotify deleted us.
But Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Rumble,
all the social media except for Twitter.
Maybe not. Maybe next week we'll get our Twitter.
Really? Oh, yeah, maybe we'll come back on Twitter. Twitter is my main thing. Like I
right.
Oh yeah.
Well, we got
deleted off Twitter.
Suspended.
Yeah, permanently.
Right. Suspended, but we'll see. We might get our page back.
Yeah, you might get it back. Yeah.
But just anyone who's looking for us, type in Journey to Truth podcast on like any of the audio platforms. We're on a lot of them, Apple Podcasts. And then if you want the video experience, primarily YouTube and Rumble, BitChute for that.
Okay, cool. I'm surprised YouTube didn't kick you off. Do you censor what you put on?
Well, we do. We've had
videos deleted. We've had like 4 or 5 videos deleted and we've gotten strikes.
But we've been appealing.
Somehow, yeah,
we've been appealing lately and getting our strikes taken away, and they put a video back up, and and they're like remonetizing.
For the first time videos. Ever, it didn't used to be like that.
So we're noticing a change. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. But
somehow they've never deleted us, and we're not questioning it. You know?
Right.
I don't know if we're being protected or what, but
yeah,
we're like, all right, sweet. You know,
some people see it as a red flag. Like,
yeah, some people think that proves that we're controlled opposition because
oh, you like, these aren't
like,
cool.
They would have deleted you. Yeah, yeah. Like, no, there's lots of other channels.
Realize that if you're not covering, if you're not exposing their current propaganda, that you're not much of a threat. Like, that you can talk about all this other stuff, ETs, inner earth history, space programs, whatever. It doesn't matter. As long as you're not throwing a wrench in the gears in their current agenda.
Or if you talk too much about the jab.
Right.
Because almost every, I think every video except for one that got deleted and got counted against us was we talked about the jab.
Well, I mean, for the longest time, I never said the word. I never said.
We didn't say the word though. And they still
the B word. I didn't say anything like that on my podcast because they had, they wrote out for you that you couldn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Talk about freedom of speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, the Ken Roll episode, he did say the word on that one.
Right.
He said the B word.
But everything that's been taken down is available on Rumble. So
It's all on our Rumble.
Yeah.
BitChute has some stuff, not everything. I'm trying to upload more to there now because it's for a while BitChute wasn't working for me.
Yeah, I have Odyssey too. Odyssey.
We have an Odyssey too, but there's only like two episodes.
It's like a backup platform.
Yeah, I wish they would automatically. I feel like I don't remember to. I wish they would automatically just
right. Like you upload on one place and it's everywhere.
I know that would be amazing. Just goes out everywhere. It's just so much work. I know. It's like.
But thank you so much for having us on. This was amazing. It was a lot of fun. We covered some ground. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. Okay, well, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.